Let's open our Bibles again to John chapter 8. The title of the message is Christ, the Light and the Life. Now, our Lord had just forgiven the woman taken in adultery. We looked at that last week. And when our Lord stooped to forgive, He showed us how God can be just and justifier. And He showed us how a woman who was born a sinner, she's a guilty sinner, He showed us how she can go and sin no more. Now that can only be seen and understood in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the light of His person and His work. But in our text, we have a solemn warning, two solemn warnings. Look at the first one in verse 21. Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. For whither I go, you cannot come. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Now the last thing I want for you and for me is that we would die in our sins. That's the most frightening thing I know of. Every day, I pray for the salvation of your soul. Every day. Every day, I pray that the Lord would be merciful to you and to me. Now, Christ is the light and the life. That's what we're going to see in this text. Well, here's my question. How can I have light and life? My subtitle of the message, how can I not die in my sins? I'm very interested in that. Are you? How can I not die in my sins? And I want to be very specific this morning. I want you, every one of you here, I want you to know God. I want that for you. I pray for it. You know, someone will say, well, I know God. You know, I'm a Calvinist. I know all the right doctrine. I know God's sovereign. I know these things. I'm a church member. I know God. I'm here every service. Of course I know Him. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't save Calvinists. God saves sinners. God doesn't save church members. God saves sinners. Are you a sinner? That's who Christ came to save. And if you're going to know God, you're going to know God by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to know God, you're going to know God by coming to Christ. You're going to know God by believing Christ. That's the only way you're going to know Him. Hebrews 1 says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory and the express, the exact image of His person. So if you're going to know God, you must know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we talk about believing Christ, you must love Him. True saving faith, believing Christ, is loving Him, loving everything about Him. In verse 32, our Lord says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we'll deal with that next week, but it ties to this thing of light. Sinners are set free by knowing the truth. And the truth is not a set of doctrines. The truth isn't knowing the right form of worship. The truth is a person. It's a person. And if you and I are going to know God, we have to know God as He is. Not the God of our imagination, but the God as He's revealed in Scripture is as the true God. And the only way we'll know Him is as He's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the truth of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you almost every week, look to Christ. Look to Christ. You know why I tell you that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the only manifestation of God we'll ever have. Now and throughout eternity, the one we see enthroned in glory is going to be Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only manifestation of God we will ever have. Now, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, if you look back in Genesis chapter 1, light and life are tied very closely together. In Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now God's a God of order. Here the world, God had created it, and somehow, I don't know what happened, somehow it became, the word there in verse 2, the earth was without form and void, is actually became. Somehow the earth became without form and void. I don't know how, but it did. And the world was in utter darkness, chaos and death. And God said, let there be light. And after light appeared, then life appeared. See, God's a God of order. In creation, he created light first. Then he created living things so that there'd be light to sustain their life, to give them life. And just like the sun is the center of our universe, Christ is the center of spiritual universe. The whole gospel is about Christ. If it's not about Christ, brother, it's not the gospel. He is the gospel. And just like the sun gives light and life to creation, Christ gives spiritual light and spiritual life to his people. You know, if the sun would quit shining, this earth would die very quickly. Everything would die quickly. Without Christ, you and I are dead. Without any hope of life, we're going to remain in darkness and deadness unless Christ comes and shines light into our heart. The sun gives warmth to creation. The light of Christ gives warmth to his people. Warm people, dead people are cold, aren't they? They're cold and hard. People are living. Their flesh is warm, and at least usually it is, you know. You can maneuver a little bit. Christ gives life and light to his people. That's how they have life and warmth. And the sun, I don't understand everything about this, but I read that this is so. The sun relieves emotional depression. Well, Christ lifts the spirit of his people, gives joy to the hearts of his people. I asked Janet about this. It's SAD is what they call it, the acronym. It's some sort of a seasonal light disorder. You don't get enough sun in the wintertime and not producing enough vitamin D or something in your body, you know, and people get a little depressed. And people try to relieve that depression with an artificial light. Janet's got one. She sits it on a table, you know, and sits in front of it. And it's supposed to do some of the same things that natural sunlight will do. And I guess it works to a degree. But there's no substitute for the sun that God hung in the sky. I mean, you can't make it do what that thing does, what God created. When I listen to me, there's no substitute for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. No substitute. Don't ever look for some artificial substitute for Christ to do for you what he does for his people. Now, our works won't do it. Our study won't do it. Our knowledge won't do it. Our faith won't do it. Christ is the light of his people. And he lifts his people up and gives them joy. Christ is the light of the world. And you want proof of that? Well, we just read in those first five verses of Genesis, that wasn't God creating the sun. Sun wasn't created till the fourth day. This is Christ. He appeared, the light of the world. Now, light is from above, isn't it? Darkness is from beneath. Light's from above. Well, if we're going to have spiritual life, you and me, we must be given the Lord Jesus Christ. God's got to give Christ to us in order for us to have light. He's the light from above. And if you look in Isaiah chapter 42, Christ himself was always intended to be the light of the world. Not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles too. Always, this was God's purpose. And God told us this in his word. Men in their darkness didn't see it, but we see it here. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Christ is coming to be a light to the Gentiles too. Look over a few pages of chapter 49. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, "It's a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Look over page chapter 51. Verse 4. "Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people." Now, is he just talking about the people of Israel there? No. Look at verse 5. "My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles," not just Israel, but the isles, all the world, "shall wait upon me, and mine arm shall they trust." One more passage in Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60, verse 1. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Now, we sinners, we're dead in gross darkness. And if sinners like you and me are going to have light and life, that light and that life must come from the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to his people and gives them light and life. And look over John chapter 1. Christ himself, the Lord Jesus, is the fulfillment of all these promises and prophecies. John chapter 1, verse 6. "There is a man sent from God, John the Baptist, whose name is John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Now, that verse 9 does not mean that Christ saved everyone. He gives everyone spiritual light. This is talking about moral light. Everybody knows right from wrong. Everybody knows you ought not lie. Everybody knows you ought not steal. That's a moral light that God's put in everybody. God, in some people, he's put a scientific light where they can understand science and medicine and the workings of things, you know. God's put that light in some people. But moral light, knowing right from wrong, having some scientific light that you can understand some things going on in the world, that's not life-giving light. Christ is spiritual light. And knowing Christ, knowing him, that's salvation. That is eternal life, is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. One more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Knowing him is having life eternal. Second Corinthians 4, verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God," where? In the face of Jesus Christ. Because he's the light of the world. He's the spiritual light and life of his people. Now, why make so much about this issue? Christ is the light of the world. Why make such a big deal of that? Well, because this world is a place of utter darkness. Gross darkness, Isaiah said. And just like light and life go together, darkness and death go together. They're hand in hand. And my friend, every one of us here this morning, every one of us were born into this world dead. In darkness and trespasses and sins. In complete, utter darkness. And we're double blind. I mean, we don't have eyes that we can see. We're blind, so we cannot see. But even if we did have eyes that could see, we couldn't see a blessed thing because we're in darkness. The darkness of sin, the darkness of unbelief. It's gross darkness. And I'll tell you the greatest proof that mankind is in utter darkness. God has to send a man to bear witness of the light. Here we sit in our darkness. God's got to send a man to come tell us the light's turned on. The light has come. Why do we have to have that? Light is the evidence of the self-evidencing, isn't it? Somebody turns, you're in darkness, somebody turns the light on. You know it. Only blind people need someone to bear witness of the light. And that's what we are by nature. We're spiritually blind. God's got to send us a man to tell us the light's on. And He's got to give us eyes to see. The only person that needs someone to witness to them that the sun is shining is a dead person. I mean, even a blind person can feel the heat of the sun. A dead person can't. We're dead in trespasses and sins. That's why God sends us a preacher to tell us of the light. Because we don't know. Now, that's true. God's given men some light of intelligence and things in this earth. And I make no denial. It's impressive. I mean, that in John 1, that's the light that John talked about. The light of intelligence and things that God gives men for the good of the world. It amazes. It never ceases to amaze me. Man's walked on the moon. You know, the Chinese say they're going to do it again. I don't care how many times it's been done. If they do it again, I'm going to be just slack-jawed. That's amazing to me. People flown airplanes around the world. They sail ships across the ocean. How in this world they get that ship to float and get it to the exact point they want to go to across the ocean, I'll never know. I'm impressed by that intelligence. If it were left up to me, man never would have sailed across a pond. I mean, we wouldn't have got more than a few inches off the ground, much less gone to the moon. But all that intelligence is not spiritual light. Spiritual life-giving light is knowing Christ. The more this other light of knowledge the mankind gets, it seems to me the darker and more lost the world becomes. Because that light's not spiritual light. We are in complete gross darkness by nature. If you look at John 17, there is one way to be delivered from that darkness. Salvation is knowing God, knowing the Father and the Son. That's salvation. In John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know Thee. Not the right doctrine, but know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. If you know God, Jesus Christ whom He sent, you'll have the right doctrine. You'll have the right form of worship. You'll have all these other things. Salvation is knowing God. It's knowing the Father and knowing the Son. Now, there are 3 points from our text that I'd like for us to be able to take home today. Because Christ is the light of the world, in this conversation our Lord's having, He shows, reveals 3 things to us. And the first one is this. Christ is the light of the world. So only Christ can reveal Himself. He's the light. He must reveal Himself. We can't figure Him out. We can't find Him by searching. We can't know Christ by the light of natural understanding. If you would know Christ, Christ must reveal Himself to you. He's the only one who can. Look at verse 13 in our text, John 8. The Pharisees therefore said unto Him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Because you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And if I judge, my judgment's true. For I'm not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It's also written in your law that the testimony of 2 men is true. Well, I'm one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Now the Pharisees said, well, your testimony can't be true because you're bearing witness of yourself. Well, no, that's not so. John the Baptist testified of himself, didn't he? They sent and asked him, are you the Christ? And he testified, no, I'm not. They believed his testimony. It was true. He testified of himself. It was true. And they believed it, didn't they? They believed John because they judged John. They made it, formed an opinion of John that he was a man. He was not the Christ. He was a man because he looked like them. They judged him by outward appearance. Well, they're trying to judge our Lord Jesus Christ the same way. And the problem is Christ can't be judged. He can't be understood by outward appearance or natural human logic. The Pharisees didn't know Christ. And they didn't want to know Him. Now, they didn't want to know Him. They didn't want to know who He really is. So they based their opinion on Him by what they could see and what they could understand with the flesh. And verse 14, our Lord says, well, though I bear record of myself, yet my record's true. Now, look back at John chapter 5. It almost sounds like he's contradicting himself here. John chapter 5, verse 31. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, is he contradicting himself? Well, no, he's not. I'll tell you why. In chapter 5, our Lord's speaking as a man. As a man, he needed witnesses. In chapter 8, he's speaking as God. And as God, he needs no one to verify anything he says. It's so, and it's right just because he said it, because he's God. Now, men do need two or three witnesses, don't they? If we're going to listen to, you know, have a definitive decision, definitive verdict, we're going to want to hear two or three witnesses to remove our doubt about the testimony, because men have been known to lie. But Christ is not a sinful man. He's God. And if Christ is the only witness you ever have, it's enough. And we better believe Him, because I'll tell you this, Christ is the only witness we'll ever have. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only witness we will ever have about how God saves sinners. The only one. So don't look for another witness. Don't try to find some other proof. Don't find some anything. Don't try to find anything else about God other than what He's revealed in this book. This is the only witness. The written Word bears record of the incarnate Word. It's the only thing you ever need to know is right here. It's what reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is interesting. Even though it's right and it's just because He said it, our Lord still gives many witnesses to His deity, doesn't He? The problem is men are dead. They're lost in darkness. They just don't believe Him. But He gave many witnesses so that they're left without excuse. The Father gave witness, this is the Son. He spoke many times from heaven. This is my Son. You hear Him. This is the only witness you're ever going to have. You better hear Him. The Scriptures give witness that Jesus is the Christ. You know, the Pharisees knew that one of the names of the Messiah would be light. You know how they knew that? The Old Testament Scriptures. We read several of them in Isaiah. They knew the Messiah would be light. The Scriptures all give witness Jesus is the Christ. John the Baptist, all the prophets, they all gave witness that the Lord Jesus is the Savior that God would send. Yet men don't believe Him. Well, why not? Because men by nature are in gross darkness. The darkness of sin, the darkness of unbelief. And we will stay that way until Christ comes and gives light. He must reveal Himself to us because He's the light of the world. Now, while men are stumbling around in gross darkness, our Lord always knew exactly what He was doing. Everywhere He went there on purpose. He must needs go through Samaria. He's going to stop by Jericho. Everywhere He went on purpose. Because He's always doing exactly the will of the Father. In obeying the law, establishing righteousness, and saving His people from their sins. Nothing was hid from Him. He knew that people were thinking about Him. He called them out on their thoughts. Because He wasn't in darkness. He saw in their hearts just as plain as you see me up here. Because He's not in darkness. He even knew the exact moment that He would give Himself to be an offering for the sin of His people. And the unbelief and the ridicule of the Pharisees didn't faze Him one bit. And it bothers us. They didn't faze Him a bit. Because He had the knowledge of God. And that, I said this in the Sunday school class, there's more to point of doctrine now. That makes salvation sure. And certain. He knew exactly what He was doing. And He accomplished everything that was necessary for the salvation of His people. And here these Pharisees are. They're standing in judgment. Can you imagine? Standing in judgment of God. Standing right in front of them. There, and He let them alone. I mean, what an awful thing for the judge to be in darkness. He can't see a thing. They're unable to judge, to make any opinion about our Lord, but our Lord leaves them alone. That's scary, isn't it? And they're going to stay in darkness because He left them alone. The only way they'll have light is if He reveals Himself to them. Now, our Lord talks about judging here. When He talks about judging, He doesn't mean, you know, hand down a verdict from the judge. He means to understand or to discern or make an opinion of something. Well, these Pharisees could only see things of the flesh. Everything they saw was tied to the world. So all their understanding was based upon the flesh. The understanding of the flesh, what the mind could understand, it could comprehend. And their problem is still man's problem today. Man hasn't changed one bit. God isn't discerned. He isn't understood by what makes sense to our natural mind. Now, the gospel makes perfect sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense. But men don't believe it. So it can't be what's understood with the natural mind. Christ must be revealed. He has to reveal Himself to us. If you only believe what you understand with your fleshly mind, you hear someone preach, say, well, that makes sense, I believe that. If that's all your faith is, you're lost. Your faith is no better than the so-called faith of these Pharisees. That's just what they could understand with a natural mind. Now, our Lord says, I judge no man. He means two things. First, He means, I judge no man right now. Right now. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. But He didn't come to judge the first time, did He? When He first appeared, He came as a lamb to be slain as a substitute for the sin of His people. He didn't come to judge. He has that authority, but He didn't come to judge. He came to save. He came to give light and life to sinners. The next time He appears, He's still God. Next time He appears, He won't appear as a lamb. He'll appear as the judge. And the second thing He means is this. When I do judge, I'll judge right. I won't judge according to outward appearances like you do. I'll judge according to the heart, the truth of the matter. And the only way to be found not guilty in that judgment is to be found in Christ, who came as the sinner substitute. And Christ's judgment, when He judges, will be true. Because His judgment is divine judgment. He said here, I have the same judgment as the Father. The Father and the Son have the exact same judgment because they're God. Now, there's one God. One God. But He is revealed in three persons, isn't He? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's one God. And all three persons of the Godhead always agree because there's one God. There's one judgment, they agree. And again, this is not just a point of doctrine. This is good news to sinners. Our Savior is God. And because our Savior is God, He's got the power to save His people from their sins. Not one will be lost because He lacks the power to save them. Not one will be lost because He has the power to find them in their darkness and bring them to Him. Not one. He's got all power. Our Savior's God. So He's perfectly righteous. He's holy because He's God. And He's able to make His people holy and righteous and accepted in the Beloved. Third, our Savior is God. So He has all knowledge. There are lots of things I don't know and I don't understand. He does, because He's got all knowledge. And because He's got all knowledge, He'll never make a mistake, and not one of His people will be forgotten. Not one. He's got all knowledge. And God's elect love that. A believer who has been given light loves that. That's good news. But now, knowing Christ is more than just knowing who He is. Knowing just, yeah, Jesus is God. Okay, I can buy that. The devils believe that and tremble. That's not saving faith. Knowing Christ in light and life is loving Christ. Loving everything about Him. There is nothing I read, nothing I ever hear about Christ that just doesn't make my heart leap. I love everything about Him. Everything. That's saving faith. And knowing that makes me put all my trust in Him. If He reveals Himself to you, and you see Him as He is, you'll put all your trust in Him. Complete trust and rest. And you can only know Christ like that if He reveals Himself to you in light, in life. Secondly, it's obvious men by nature do not know God. They don't know the Father, Son, or the Holy Spirit. Well, if you would know God, know this. Christ reveals Himself to you. And if you're going to know the Father, Christ must reveal the Father to you, because Christ alone reveals the Father. Look at verse 19 in our text. Then said they unto Him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Now God's children know their Father. They know Him. Wayne, your children know you. I mean, they know your character. They know your name. They know you better than anybody. Care, I reckon. They know you better than anybody. God's children know our Father the exact same way. You know His name. You know His character. You know His grace and His love. You know the Father better than anyone outside of Christ, because the only way you can know the Father is by knowing Christ, being in Him. That's why our Lord told His disciples, He that has seen me has seen the Father. There they were looking at Him. They're looking at the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. But again, see doesn't just mean behold with your eyes. It means to understand. You understand His name, what it means, what it reveals about Him. You understand His character. So you understand how He can be just and justifier. And the only way you know that is Christ has revealed the Father to you. That's the only way He can be revealed. And these men should have known the Lord Jesus is God. I mean, you talk about gross darkness. As bad as they hated our Lord, they never could seem to take Him, could they? Do you think that ever could have dawned on Him? I mean, we hate Him. We've made all these different plans and plots and schemes to take Him and put Him to death. And they never could. Why couldn't they? He didn't hide from them. Why couldn't they? Because His will was being done, not theirs. He's God. Look at verse 20. This conversation is taking place in the most public place in all of Israel. Verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. Now I reckon this is what the law makes people do. This is where our Lord was talking, was the place where people put their tithes in. They had several different boxes there, and people put their tithes in. And people who love the law made this the most public place in all of Israel. We better make it the most public place, because we got to check on everybody, make sure they're putting their tithe in, you know. And let's make it a public place so people see me put my tithe in. That's just what the law produces, you know. But this was a public place. Why didn't they take Him? He's God. They couldn't. His will was being done. His hour to offer Himself as a sacrifice for the sins of His people was not yet come. And they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. Salvation is not by the will of man. Salvation is not by our law keeping. Then we need to beg God to save us. Have mercy and save us and reveal Himself to us. Reveal Himself and reveal the Father. Third, only Christ reveals men as they really are. Christ reveals Himself. In His light He reveals the Father. And in His light He reveals to you and me what we really are. Look at verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will He kill Himself? Because He saith, Whither I go, you cannot come. And He said unto them, You are from beneath, I'm from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, and again that word He is in italics, it's been added by the translators, just cross that out. If you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, our Lord here is speaking to the best religious people of this day. These men were the most moral. They were the most upright people in all of Israel. These were people zealous for the law. They didn't hate the law. They loved the law. They paid tithes even of their spice racks, mint and cumin and anise, whatever the spices that they. And our Lord says, you avid tithers, you people who are moral and upright, you're lost in darkness and unbelief. You're lost. You only have one nature. You've got Adam's nature. Our Lord says, you're of this world. You're formed of the dust of this earth, and you've never risen above that dust, just like Adam. And then he says you're from beneath. And he doesn't just mean from beneath heaven. He means from beneath. He means you're from hell. You're a child of hell. You're not a child of light. You're a child of Satan, not a child of God. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? Well, that's harsh. But that's what every one of us is by nature. Not just them, us too. That's what every one of us are by nature. And you know, we never see that of ourselves because we're in darkness. But the very moment that we see the Lord Jesus Christ, now I see. By comparison, now I see what I am. And that'll make me cry, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Now I see what I am. Not just what I've done, but what I am. In creation, God said, let there be light. And light appeared. You could see what was going on, all this darkness and chaos. Now you could see it. In salvation, when God says, let Christ the light appear. Now we see ourselves as we really are and have life in Him, in His light. Now the Pharisees wondered, well, Lord, is He going to go kill Himself? Ridiculous. That's having your understanding darkened. And the same darkened understanding says Christ died for everybody and they got to do something to make it effectual. And if they don't, people go to hell anyway. People for whom Christ died will go to hell. That's darkened understanding. The Lord's not going to take His own life. But I'll tell you what He is going to do. He's going to give it. He's going to give His life as a ransom for many. Our Lord didn't take His own life. He willingly offered His life so that His elect would be saved. He willingly died so His people would have life. And these same Pharisees are going to mock that too. And come down from the cross and we'll believe you. And they'll still mock it today. But I don't want to talk about people that aren't here. Let's talk about you and me. You and I do the same thing. We would do the exact same thing if Christ had not revealed to us who and what we are. Every one of us now. I've been raised right here under the sound of the gospel. Sitting in the pew, listening to the greatest preacher of our generation. Just like him. Just like him. Worse. And one day God said, let there be light. Oh, that's His mercy. Now, what can we conclude from this truth? Christ is the light and life of the world. Well, that tells me Christ is the sinner's only hope. He's the only source of light. He's the only source of life. Matthew Henry says, when our Lord says, He used to die in your sins. Matthew Henry says in the original, that was sin. You shall die in your sin. Because the Lord is speaking here of one specific sin. The sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief is what will damn men and women. They persistently reject the Lord Jesus Christ. So they'll perish. Because they refuse the only Savior. They refuse the only form of light and life, so they will die in their sin and darkness. And this is such a solemn warning. You know, I said this in the Sunday school class, we don't trifle with God's Son. We don't trifle with this matter of the gospel. This is a solemn warning. There's a day coming when men who have rejected Christ repeatedly, over and over again, one day they'll seek Him. They'll seek Him. Savior, they'll seek some sort of salvation. They'll seek something because they realize they don't have any. They realize they're in trouble. And men of our day have made it sound like this mamby-pamby Jesus you hear preached is just waiting for somebody that, you know, just any time anybody would ever accept Him, you know, He'd just love to have them if they just accept Him. Is that what our Lord says here? They didn't get that from the Bible, that notion from the Bible. Our Lord says, you'll seek Me and you won't find Me. You won't be able to find Me because you cannot come where I am. If you can't be where He is, you can't find Him. They don't have the ability to come where Christ is because they're dead. They don't have the ability to find the way to where Christ is because they're in darkness and unbelief. They don't have the ability to come where Christ is because they don't have the right nature. You never will come to the light unless you're holy and righteous. Sinners don't want to come to the light and be exposed. You know, self-righteous people don't want to come to the light and be exposed. They'll show me for what I am. They don't have the right nature. You've got to have a holy nature to be in the presence of God. And the only nature they have is a nature formed from gross darkness. And it's an impossibility for light and darkness to dwell together. Can't happen. It's an impossibility. Sinful man in our darkness cannot live, be where God is. God's holy. And God must punish sin. So we cannot come where Christ is. And we'll die in our sin of unbelief. But now listen to me. The Lord hadn't come as judge yet, has He? Today's still the day of grace. It must be. The gospel is being preached. It must still be the day of grace. Then what do we conclude? Come to Christ, that you might have light and life. Believers who have come to Christ, they're not in darkness anymore. Believers aren't stumbling around in the dark, wondering how God saves sinners. You know how God saves sinners. If Christ has revealed Himself to you, believers aren't stumbling around wondering how God's to be worshipped. You know how God's to be worshipped because Christ has revealed Himself to you in light. And you're following Christ. You don't stumble around in darkness. You're in Christ who is light. Just like Israel followed the cloudy pillar. There that cloudy pillar was. Israel over here had light, didn't they? Egypt back here had darkness. They're stumbling around in the dark. Couldn't see the hand in front of their face. Israel had light because Christ was their light. Christ is the light of a believer's feet. So you're not stumbling around. Not just our eyes. He gives us eyes to see, and He gives us light to see the path to follow Him. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We follow those who have light, follow Christ, who is the light. Lastly, you know everybody's going to die. Unless the Lord returns, everybody's going to die. All of our bodies must die because of sin. It's frightening to read this statement of our Lord. You'll die in your sins. Dying in sin, as we are, is very, very different from dying in Christ, isn't it? Dying in sin is to die eternally. To be eternally separated from God and cast to outer darkness. But dying in Christ is precious gain. Isn't that gain? Because Christ has already died for His people. There's no death to God's people. The believer didn't die. The believer sleeps. And death is just a passageway. To leave this dark world of sin and go to eternal light. Why we call it glory, a place of eternal light? Because Christ is there. You read this, I can't remember the exact, I think it's Revelation 22. Let's see if I can find it. Don't ever do this. Yeah, Revelation 21. If you don't have it in your notes, just don't do it. Revelation 21. Why we call heaven the place of eternal light? Because Christ is there. And the city, verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb, Christ, is the light thereof. May God be pleased in His mercy to reveal Himself to us, light and life. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we bow before Thee with hearts that are full of thanksgiving. How can we ever thank You as You ought to be thanked, praise You as You ought to be praised for Your mercy, Your grace in sending Your Son into this world to be the light of the world. How we thank You for Your mercy and grace. There are many here this morning that You've called, that You've revealed Yourself to, You've given light. You've given life, eternal life. And Father, we're grateful. Oh, how thankful we are. We know there's nothing that we've done. No goodness of our own that has caused You to act so mercifully and gracious to us. But it's in Your Son. It's because of Your Son. And Father, we're thankful. And we beg of Thee that You would continue to be merciful. That You would continue to call of darkness the people of this area. That You'd call them out by Your grace. That You would pull them out. That You'd take them out of the bondage of darkness, the prison house of darkness of sin that they're in. Reveal your Son to them and in them. And cause them to run to Christ. Father, we beg your mercy. How thankful we are for it, and we beg your continued mercy. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we give thanks. Amen.